Hello, everyone. Welcome to Developing Palettes. I am Aaron Loomis coming to you from the Drew Estate Studios. With me today is the whole crew. We have June Liu, Seth Geist, John McTavish. How are you guys doing this evening?
Got the band back together.
I can't believe it's been both the longest and shortest year that I can ever remember.
That's right.
And 2021 is really not going to be much different, you guys.
It really isn't.
It's just going to be all one.
Although I suspect for 2021, and maybe Loomis is going to talk about this, I think we're going to try and crack off more reviews. Maybe. Yeah,
we'll see if we can do it.
Yeah.
If they don't, people don't make us start going back to work at the office. It's going to be the hard part. All right. So this is something new for us, doing a live reveal of our top 25 list. In previous years, what we've done is we've just published the list on the website and then done a kind of a bit of a recap video where we kind of talked about our individual top five or top 10, whatever it was that we were doing at the time. But we've implemented quite a few changes this year. So the first thing, obviously, is that we're doing the live reveal. Second thing is typically we've done just publishing our individual lists. But this year we've changed it up and we are just publishing a single list that encompasses all four of us. And the way that we did this is that we took all of the reviews that we participated on. And then we weighted those reviews for each reviewer. So basically, the number one cigar got the highest number of points. The lowest cigar got 1 point. And then we did that for all four reviewers. And then we just basically added up those totals to get the ranking for this. So there were no votes. There were no feelings involved. It was really just a data-based list. So
truth.
Yeah.
Math.
Yeah, it didn't take much convincing. It's as math. Soon as you said data, I just tuned out the rest of what you said, and I'm like, I'm in.
Right. So no manipulation of the list. It's just based on the numbers, based on the reviews that we did during the year. All of these cigars are cigars that were reviewed on the site. There are three cigars that the reviews have not published yet, but they are completed.
We promise.
In the queue. Just based on the number of reviews that we're publishing per week, we just got to the point where we have three that just haven't made it out yet. So
what matters is that we're reviewing them rather than just throwing them on a list.
That's right. Exactly. That's right.
I hope no one's done that. Has anyone done that? And I just did like a passive aggressive comment.
That's okay. Shit. I liked it.
I did. I didn't mean it as a shot, but we'll take it.
Stone it.
So the other requirement is that it fits in within the time range that we're doing. And we changed up this year as well. Typically, we do a calendar year. So it's basically January 1st to December 31st. We're changing it up this year. We're going from January 1st, 2020 to October 31st, 2021. Because in future years, we're going to go from a November 1st to an October 31st window. So kind of a bit of a condensed window this year. But next year and ongoing years, it will be a full 12 months. It'll just be a little staggered based on how we do it. It's just a way for us to make sure that we can try to get everything in that window, get it reviewed prior to when we want to publish the list. And we're not trying to cram a bunch of stuff in that we may have only had for, 2 weeks in our humidor. And that's not fun or fair for anybody to do that. So
now, did you send an email to certain companies to let them know to stop releasing stuff like November 25th? Cause they're not going to be eligible for this.
No,
no.
All right. Hey, and here's the thing. What's nice about us is that if you release something early on, we don't forget about you at the end. Our data still says early numbers are just as good as late numbers. So
you mean a seven at the beginning of the year is still a seven at the end of the year?
It is.
This is a thing.
And
right
we
now.
Don't for, and we don't forget.
This is a thing.
No, right here. No, you see?
I thought this you were going to go someplace.
It's a heart. It's a heart.
Oh, it's a heart? Oh, yeah, that's cute.
It's a lot of these Korean people are doing it.
Yes.
That's pretty cool, actually.
You see it? You see the heart?
Yeah. I like it.
It's a heart. It's a heart.
Okay. All right.
Wait, what do you mean Korean people have been doing it? Is that a thing?
These fucking...
Yeah. It's just a thing that they do.
How do you show that?
It's a thing. You know, like the... this when you're taking a picture. Like shit like that. Yeah. It's more like you gotta be cuter. You gotta be more like pointed. Like sometimes like this. Right?
Oh. I feel like as soon as you turn it sideways, I feel like there's... It co-ops the piece.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like to keep my piece upright.
It looks like your greater sign. It looks like you're greater than what's on the other
side. Oh.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Okay, I'll teach you guys more about Asian culture later.
Okay.
All right, that sounds great. Okay. All right, so you guys ready to start getting into the list?
Let's do it.
Yes.
All right. So one of the things...
Where are we starting? Bottom, top?
Starting at the bottom. Yeah, we're at
the top. They'll just tune out right away. They'll be like, there's the number one. I don't care. Whatever.
Yeah, fuck it.
I'm not paying attention an hour and a half of these clowns.
And we're not going to go from like 10 and then work our way down just to then reveal all the other ones.
Yeah. No.
That'd be kind of funny.
Actually, I thought we were going to do number one tomorrow on a Facebook Live.
Yeah. We should just do it one a day on Facebook Live.
Oh, wow. That's a lot of setup. Do like
an hour long and then just don't even talk about it.
Exactly.
Until say the name right to the end.
Yeah. So there are some ties.
Right into the hop, we get some computer. Okay, let's. Exactly.
You're good now, Aaron.
Let's pretend everything's good. We've got it out of the way. Go ahead.
Yeah. So there are a couple of ties on the list, one of the things I was hoping not to have happen was to have a tie for the 25th cigar on the list, and that happened. So there are actually 26 cigars on this list, just because we have a tie for 25. So you have to sue us, but there's going to be 26 cigars on this top 25 list. But let's see. Let me get this all prepped up so that we can make sure that we're going to fire away correctly.
Or add revenue opportunities.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We're doing something special this year, too. I forgot because I don't know why I forgot because I helped. But
all right. So tied for 25. Cigar of the Year 2020 for Developing Palates is the Oscar Valladares Superfly Connecticut Corona.
Look at this.
Look at that sexy cigar. Look at that. God. It's got 25 written all over it.
Fancy. Right. Look at that perp. Get a little of that purple,
oh,
man.
Oh, God. That purple is pops. That's a noble purple right there.
Popping purple.
I love how you guys are just talking about the band this whole time.
No, but look at it bounce off that Connecticut. Gosh.
Yeah.
Popping.
This is how we review cigars. This is what we do. Aaron takes.
Yeah, we don't even really. We don't smoke them. We just look at them and go. That, I feel like that feels like a 625. You know.
Yeah, we have a pull down. We have a pull down menu. We just click on the score.
That's right.
Well, yeah. Aaron has a spin,
and actually one of our ranking thing is like a ranking is actually Superfly. So with this one, it was just super easy.
It was easy. Yeah, you just picked Superfly and it was done.
Didn't think about that one.
All right, so this cigar was released early on in the year, so February 2020. Connecticut is the second. It was a kind of a follow up to the original Superfly. That I don't remember Maduro off the top of my head, but what the wrapper was on it. So, you know, this is Honduran Connecticut, a lot of Honduran, and you know, a filler, a binder, some in the filler, also some Nicaraguan, some Dominican. Thoughts on this from you guys? I thought it was a pretty decent Connecticut shade offering. Nothing too crazy, but nothing off-putting as well. It had good construction cigar, pretty mellow. What were your guys' thoughts on it?
What was the price on this again?
$9.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought it was a good price. Connecticut, nice complexity. Yeah. I mean, we smoked the Corona Gorda, right?
The Corona.
Corona. Yeah. Had balance.
5.25 by 45. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good cigar, and like you said, I think it was nuanced and balanced. I think there's a lot of new wave Connecticuts that are pretty spicy, and this is more of the sort of smooth and silky and desserty. It's nice.
Exactly. All right, so I'll drop that off. So all right, so the other cigar that was at 25, since we had a tie. So
which is the better 25? How does it?
I don't know how to do. I don't know how to make a tiebreaker.
Which
here.
One gets the A? Which well, whatever one I scored higher, that's going to be the worst one.
You think that's how it works?
I think that might actually be how it works.
Okay.
I think he might be onto something.
That could be it. So Seth's the tiebreaker, right?
No, I'm the.
He's the anti tiebreaker.
Yeah,
I'm the anti tiebreaker on the tiebreaker.
Yeah.
So whatever I did, we do the opposite. So this is 25B. So we're going to 25A now.
Now we're going to 25A. That's right. So number tied for 25 is the Crown Heads Mobius Corona Gorda. So this was later in the year, an August 2020 release. Ecuadorian Urbano wrapper, Nicaragua binder, Nicaragua, Peru, and Costa Rican filler. $9.25 price point. So I know that you know, John, you're fairly high on this. Seth and June, you guys matched up evenly on this review as well. So thoughts you guys wanted to share on this one?
It was, I mean, I'm a fan of crown heads in general, and I think what was interesting for me about the cigar is it didn't smoke like it didn't smoke like anything else from crown heads. So it wasn't just like, okay, this is like the Four Kicks, or this is like, you know, something else, the Especial or whatever. And of course, I think this is a cigar that I distinctly remember when I was doing the pre-light. Before I lit it up, I reached out to you. I'm like, did I screw something up? Because this has got some real curious aromas coming off of here, and I'm worried that we've got some contamination going on, because there was like some peat fire and like ground unicorn horn and a bunch of other stuff. And I'm like, these are not aromas that I would typically associate with a lot of cigars, and certainly not crown heads. But ultimately, you know, it was a tasty experience.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. The part about the that pre-light, I was like, I hadn't heard anybody kind of talk about that. So it just seemed like it was a little bit different than kind of what we were expecting there.
And you couldn't miss it.
Yeah.
It had a nice, like, sweet spice, baking spice aroma and just flavor profile throughout, from my recall. And I think what's great about it is this is that new factory that Huber's working with.
Yeah, Pichardo.
Pichardo. And I think he's putting out really good stuff from this factory. I really like what he's doing out of the factory.
Yeah.
And like what John said, it was very it was a good deviation from the typical Huber stuff. So it's very like unique and tasted like a very new blend, which is a good thing in this scenario. So
yeah, I mean, not that there's anything wrong with putting out cigars that taste like other cigars you have, but I think it is good to have a delineation in your lines where you say, you know, I smoke this cigar from you for this flavor. I smoke this cigar from you for this flavor, rather than, you know. Now that said, I probably would have still pointed this out as crown heads. Like, it wasn't such. Some of this, there is at least one cigar on this list where we'll get there eventually, but it didn't smoke for me like the factory it came out of, and I was very surprised. But this still had some crown heads DNA, I think.
Yeah, I would agree with that. All right, we ready for the first cigar that has its own spot on the list at number 24.
24.
Moving out from the parents' house.
That's right. So the number 24 cigar of 2020 is the Drew Estate Undercrowned Sungrown Dojo Dogma. So this was another August 2020 release. Ecuadorian Sumatra Sungrown wrapper, Connecticut Sungrown Habano binder, Nicaraguan filler. Kind of a variation on the previous Sungrown lines, but you know, the collaboration with the Dojo team. So this was definitely a cigar that June likes. And he's a, you know, anything Asian themed, he's going to jump all over it. So with the Dojo, he's all up on it. So and John was a big fan as well. So June and John, thoughts on the Dojo Dogma Sungrown?
Yeah, anything that has an Asian theme is an automatic minimum six for me. I really like the girthy aspect of the cigar. Sometimes when it's a nice girthy cigar, and for such a big cigar, I thought it'd get really good flavors. You know, initially I get kind of turned off by something this large, but I thought it was a really good flavorful cigar. I think it was a really good collab. You know, the collabs don't typically work out too well. I kind of feel like I've seen collabs fail more than be successful. But in this scenario, completely the opposite. So,
and if I remember right, this is box pressed as well, right? I think.
Yeah, it's got like a soft box
press. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think it helps with the ring gauge.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Mouthfeel.
The mouthfeel. And I mean, we joke a lot about it, but honestly, really anything over a 52, you know, when we started getting the 54, 56, it's just not comfortable for me. So I do like the box press. And I do think that a lot of cigars that are sort of in this profile, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but I think they tend to smoke a little bit better in the larger ring gauge. But like June said, I mean, this, you know, you can't deny the red. This is the time of the season, you know, it's just about Chinese New Year. So checks a lot of boxes. It is,
that's a good call, John.
Yeah. Gong Hei Fa Choi.
Yeah. I'm another point.
And, you know, like you said, the collaborations, I mean, I can't tell you the number of times we've reviewed collaborations and we're like, well, there's another failed collaboration, but, no, this checked a lot of boxes. So, you know, congrats to Drew Estate and congrats to Dojo.
Absolutely. All right. We're going to head over to the number 23 cigar of the year.
No ties.
No ties at 23. Next tie is not till we get to 15, 16.
Oh, sweet.
So we got a little bit of room to go with. So number 23 cigar of the year is the Dunbarton Tobacco and Trust Muestra de Saca Unstolen Valor. You know, this was a May 2020 release, all Nicaraguan.
Sounds like that was like 3 years ago then.
Yeah. Almost like that. So higher end on the price point, $17.95 for this cigar. But it stays in that, you know, Muestra de Saca kind of style, the coffins, all that kind of stuff. John, you're a big fan of this cigar. You know, June as well. Thoughts you want to share on how the ranking for this one?
I think Steve's capable of blending a pretty wide range. I think for me, this highlighted kind of what I like of what Steve blends is, you know, a little bit of that darker Trio profile, but, he kind of walks up to that intense line and then takes a couple steps back. So, you know, it's not super pepper forward. It's got baking spices, but it's not palate overwhelming. So you can enjoy a fuller bodied cigar, say in the morning, and it's not going to be completely overwhelming in the palate. The coffin made me chuckle. I was like, I mean, I suppose if you're paying $18, you want that presentation. But I remember thinking like, could you just give me the bundled version and maybe knock like $2 or $3 off the price? Cause you know, this, but
seriously,
but, no, it was, you know, it was a tasty cigar. I enjoyed it.
And this is actually, Raul Diesel blended most of this. And I think Saka might have asked him for a tweak or two on it. It was mainly Raul's, but, you know, obviously coming out of Noxa and, you know, a factory that Steve's using, there's going to be, you know, a lot of that DNA, I think, still in there. So
June and I we're definitely aligned on that
spicy
one.
Spicy and meaty. Very oaky.
Yeah. I would agree with that.
So you can highlight this cigar, June, when people give you a hard time and say you don't like fuller bodied cigars. You can be like,
I like a lot of full bodied cigars.
You do.
I ain't no bitch. You know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying.
What shit, Compton really got to you today, as you can see. All right, so let's move
AWA.
On. AWA, there you go. So let's move on to the number 22 cigar of 2020. And that cigar is the 601 La Bamba Warhead 6. Whoop, whoop. You know, kind of the traditional time most of the cigars come out in the year, July, just not right, you know, at a trade show or anything like that. You know, Nicaraguan broadleaf, something that not a lot of people are using or at least disclosing that they're using. So good to know that that's out there. Rest of it's, you know, Nicaraguan Puro. $10 price point on this. This, you know, this is typically a kind of a limited edition type of thing for them. Powerhouse of a cigar. You know, I know that... you know, I think June, I like to use June as the barometer on when, you know, the cigar is real strong and, you know, he'll pipe up and say, yeah,
this is a beast.
Yeah. I remember, I ate before this one because I remember Hector was like, you know, it's got some balls to it. And I think it has some like ox balls, you know what I mean? Like extra big balls. And after I smoked this, I went inside and I ate an ice cream sandwich. And then I had some chocolate And I had to just like sit there and just like let the strength subside. But I thought it was really good. I rated it overall good. I don't think we reviewed that many Nicaraguan broadleaves. I mean, not that there's many out there, but the only one I could really think of is
Mambacho did this year, right? Yeah. We did two this year.
What else do we do? That's
Cohiba Royale.
Okay, well, that's not even the same class as this. But
shots fired.
This is really cool. Like it's wow. Hey,
now what I said reason when I
you don't see that jeez, cigar on I the fucking 25 list.
I thought the Cohiba Royale was good.
Okay, all right. That's
there's great. A reason you don't see it on the top 25 list. Yeah, it's because a lot of bloggers are too cheap to buy it.
Yeah, you cheap fucks. Anyways, this was super good. It was super strong, but really like, you know, good sweetness to balance as well. Real like peppery in the nasal and the retro, as it should be, right? For kind of what it's made for. So I guess, you know, given that, I thought it was a really good executed cigar.
Yeah, I mean, if you're an Espinosa, you know, fanboy or whatever, I feel like you're not going to disappoint anybody who really likes Espinosa cigars with this one. But I just ask that they don't do any long ash competitions with this because you might have to call an ambulance for some guys.
Yeah, and the nipple burned right through. I didn't have to relight it.
It was a nicely constructed cigar. I wonder. I'd love to smoke the blend, like. Even if it was just like a 5x58, you know, standard Parejo, right? And a little bit, you know, just to see, because I think really where the cigar does well is that first third before it really tapers down. Just where you're getting that Nicaraguan broadleaf, but it's just not as dominant. So,
yeah,
it was a good stick though.
So the big question for you, Seth, is Mistress or this cigar? Which one is the one that you have to like really prepare for?
I think well. Mistress and I had a history. So that's, I would probably I think that the when you have a really stronger like natural or like Habano, you know, wrapper versus like a broadleaf, those typically I think are stronger to me because I just think that Maduro just balances that out a little bit more. But that's
I would agree. Opinion. Yeah, I would agree. I think the Mistress is still the reigning queen.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
This is a beast though.
Yeah, it's no joke. I mean, just because it's not a Mistress doesn't mean that you should like I said, don't be doing no long ash because
Yeah. It'll get you. All right.
It'll get you.
Number 21 cigar of 2020 is the Esteban Carreras Cashmere in the Bullet Vitola.
He's Cashmere, George.
And this was an August 2020 release.
So Esteban.
Ecuadorian Connecticut wrapper, binder and filter bowl from Nicaragua. Nice $5.50 price point. So gets you down right, you know, way down
it was,
low.
It was a nicely priced stick for what it is.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we were all really quite close on the scores for this review. So I thought we all felt it was like a you know an above average Connecticut. And then at that price point, it just really delivered, you know, delivered from what, for what you got. So, you know, I thought it was in a pretty enjoyable Connecticut shade.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was one of the few cigars of the year where we didn't have someone majorly diverge from the rest of the group, which is, you know, probably why you see it as the number one 21 cigar. I'd be interested.
Four consistent, very consistent.
Very consistent.
Yeah.
I'd be interested to see where this lands for the value proposition, even though people seem to have a tough time understanding how the value calculation works. $5.50 for a cigar that lands number 21 on the list. That's a pretty good value proposition.
Yeah, it's got to be what was the San Pedro's by Royal Agio? Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
those were probably the only ones. I think they did higher though, didn't they?
Yeah, I think at least one of at least the, I think the Connecticut was the Connecticut the best one that we smoked.
Yeah, that's the one where it was you, John, and I. We all scored.
Yeah,
the that same was thing.
Yeah.
Was it 6.82 or something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
Something remarkable.
Yeah, I would say that I don't like the bands, the printing of the letters on the bands when. It's okay in this picture here, but like when you're looking at it, it just seems like it's like almost like double print, like it was a little offset and like it was playing tricks with my eyes. So
yeah, when
the
I
photo was... looks a lot better than
yeah.
Yeah.
What did you say, Aaron, about like where is the do you see the red do you see the something when you posted this on IG? It was this cigar, no?
Do you see It was, yeah, the cashmere. Do you see the...
The red dot?
The red dot.
Yeah, I posted it if you see the red dot.
Seinfeld?
But that's a Seinfeld reference, so...
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It went over everybody on Instagram's head. People on Instagram apparently don't like Seinfeld, so... Yeah, didn't work out.
Have to try Friends reference next time.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that's more for June. Yeah.
Who's it? Isn't Kramer the one that points it out to Elaine?
Oh yeah, yeah. As soon as she agrees to take the sweater from him.
She tries it on.
What's this red dot?
What's on your? What's
Kramer's
on your?
Like, hey, you have that red dot.
All right, so we are up to number 20. And the number 20 cigar of 2020. I don't know if this is a good omen that you're in the staying in the 20s, but it is the Nat Sherman Timeless 2020 TAA Limited Edition. And this was the last Nat Sherman TAA ever.
Wasn't it the last Nat Sherman?
What's that?
It was the last Nat Sherman.
Really. It was the last Nat Sherman. That's true as well. So this was a March 2020 release, so early in the year. All Nicaraguan Jalapa, basically, and $12 price point. Pretty nice cigar, I think that did really well for some of us. So I know Seth and John and June were really high on this cigar.
Loved it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Raisins.
Yeah,
Go ahead.
Sorry, dude. Seth.
No.
I was gonna say if I was a blog that didn't post reviews and just like pick cigars out of thin air for top list, this would be my number one.
I think we firmly discussed that the experience that I had was an outlier, and actually this probably for me really demonstrated why we do panel reviews, because. You know, three people had an amazing experience and one person had an off experience, and that can happen. And all that said to me, based on your guys' experience, was I need to smoke the cigar again because the experience I had wasn't representative of the cigar.
Right.
Yeah. Another tidbit is if John would have had a better experience, this would have been, I mean, of course, this would have been higher on our list, but this would have jumped a good amount.
Exactly.
A lot.
Yeah.
And huge.
The nice thing about these, though, is if you really think about it, it's like $120 for like a bundle of 10.
Yeah.
But it's really nicely priced. You could probably get it cheaper than that. And it's still available. You can still get some bundles of these. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
I might just have to do that.
Yeah. Nice flavor. And you like that. If you like those murdered out bands, those are pretty slick.
Oh, the bands are nasty.
Yeah. That whole mono, murdered out monochrome-ish look. I love that look.
Yeah. All right. We are getting into the teens. So a 19 cigar of 2020 is the...
Wait for it.
Black Label Trading Company Super Deluxe Lancero.
Look how dark that thing is.
It's, I mean, it just straight. Sucks your soul in.
And, this was a September release. Mexican San Andreas Maduro wrapper, Ecuadorian Habano binder, filter from Nicaragua. $11.50 price point. Look at the cigar. Looks great. Flavors there as well. John's gonna be the Black Label ambassador today and tell us how much he loves this beating heart on the band.
I do, this is, to me, this cigar kind of, if you're a Black Label Trading Company fan, this was exactly in their core competencies, just that really, I mean, it tastes just like it looks. It's just dark and chewy and delicious without being overwhelming. The styling is certainly in keeping with, their core brand strategy. And it's got a really, so interestingly enough, they could have gone with like a soft box press for this. Mm-hmm. They actually went with like a really aggressive, almost square press. But I think it worked for me. I found it, pretty comfortable. Although, I think the naming council might've taken some shots at, James for the Super Lancero, but, the end result in terms of flavor, I mean, Yeah, I'd smoke these all day.
Yeah. I don't know if the box press helps it out with trying to keep it into that 38 gauge or whatever it's supposed to be.
Yeah, I mean, you've seen, like, we've seen a few box presses this year, and I mean, I'm, you know, automatically when you see a box press, like, to me, you know, I automatically just adjust my score, and I'm like, well, that's going to be at least a six then, because if I'm going to go to the trouble of box pressing it, you know, I just adjust my score.
I thought I was dealing with that score that way.
No, box press for me, you know, if it double band is like a quarter point, right? If they're going to put a double band in there, I'm like, well, they, you know, they paid for the second band. I know how hard bands are. There's a quarter point. If you're going to box press it, minimum six. But it's nice to see so many manufacturers coming back with the box press, because, you know, I don't think everything should be box press, but I like box press cigars, man. It's kind of my jam. I like it.
You do like a press cigar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you like, yeah, you do.
Yeah, I'm a square kind
of
dude.
Bit of a fetish.
It's possible. I mean,
this cigar wasn't like you know,
this
it wasn't like a rubber stamp black label trading company cigar.
No,
either,
I like, you know? I really like the cigar, and I'm not crazy on black label, but this was really, it delivered those rich and dark flavors that black label has, but there was really a lot of balance to it. It wasn't, and I thought it was going to. I went into the cigar thinking like, man, I'm gonna get wrecked. Like, this is just going to just destroy me. But it was really, really well made. It was a nice, nice blend. And I think I said at the time that I thought it was the, you know, probably the second best blend they've done besides that porcelain that Ecuador, Connecticut they did.
So it's a porcelain was hot bananas. Yeah.
This is a really, it's a good size. It's not a Lancero, but it's a good size.
Yeah. 42, I think.
Yeah.
42. Yeah. 42.
They got a little creative.
It's allowed, man. It's a creative industry, you know. Just let your spread your wings, be creative. It's cool.
All right. So we are up to number 18, and the 18th cigar of 2020 is the Aganorsa Leaf Supreme Leaf Robusto.
Aganorsa.
That was a while ago.
Yeah, this is a March 2020 release.
Oh my god.
All Nicaraguan, you know, $9.95 price point. I think it was probably one of the most hyped Aganorsa Leaf cigars in a long time that I can recall.
It got a lot of hype out of TPE, didn't it?
Yeah, it did get a lot of hype out of TPE.
Mm-hmm. Was this a TPE release?
Yeah, like they definitely showed it off. That was like the focus of what they were doing at TPE. So.
Nice.
Yeah. So I know John June, you guys are big fans of this cigar. Any points you want to share on this one? Then we can wreck the band later.
Yeah, I mean. Let's get this out of the way. You know, the Leaf is a strength, right? Not marketing and banding, clearly.
Don't say that about marketing. Terrence does a great job.
Sorry. Terrence does a great job of marketing.
Yeah.
You can't smoke the band. The band doesn't taste terrible.
Just a good school church boy. Okay. So I think this is especially unique in the sense that overall it was a pretty bad year for Aganorsa tobacco and cigars. So for this to be making on a list and to be 18 at a list, I think it kind of speaks quite a bit of volume, honestly. So I really liked, especially that first couple of thirds of it. Very interested to see how it kind of goes throughout time. See if it gets better, most Aganorsa stuff that I smoked, they do get better with time. So I'm excited to kind of smoke it down the road.
Oh my God, could you love Aganorsa anymore? You're not even talking about the cigar.
I like to give a special shout out to Eduardo Fernandez. He's a great human being. Max Fernandez as well, which I think it's broke back with Seth a little bit.
I think
that's all I gotta say.
I think June's looking for a little California Aganorsa Studios love. I think
he's looking for some love. Yeah. He's definitely looking for some love.
Yeah, but don't give me a banner in my backdrop of this cigar band.
He wants you just want like a single leaf, like a tobacco leaf.
I want that arm. You know, yeah. with the
bundle of leaves.
Tobacco.
I want to smoke the cigar in like a year. Well, that's almost been a year.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to smoke them, but I think they need to be dry boxed even further, and I'm going to see where they are.
Yeah, they're pretty wet.
I can't believe that goes all the way back to March, man.
It was the best release.
They got it out of the way right at the start of the year, and then they were like, we're good. Like, we're good. We got it. Seriously. We got it.
They're like, sorry, COVID, you know, it's hard.
We make the development pad list. Yeah, we'll make it.
All we'll make it. Good. We got it.
All right. Up to number 17. So the number 17 cigar of 2020 is the Drew Estate Underground Shade Corona Pequeña.
Oh, yeah.
Studio sponsor. No, just kidding.
Yes, studio sponsor.
No wonder.
This was another earlier in the year release, February.
Oh, man.
Ecuadorian Connecticut Shade wrapper, Sumatran binder, filler from the DR and Nicaragua. Another $5.50 price point. So this kind of goes along in with the cashmere that we were smoking earlier, another Connecticut Shade. This one just gets up the list a little bit more. So, I know John, June, really all up on this one. So take it away, guys. What do you want to say about the Underground Shade in this new small vitola?
John?
I mean, I think what's nice about this is that it's a size that a lot of manufacturers don't offer. And, you know, I don't know how well it sells compared to, like, the Robustos and the Toros, because the Robustos and the Toros, of course, are like that's like 85% of a market. But I have to say, as a cold weather smoker, it's nice to be able to get, 95% of the same flavor out of a smaller vitola that you can smoke in 32 minutes or 35 minutes or whatever. And it has the same level of construction as the larger cigars. You still get, the same profile. And clearly it's double banded. So then, they didn't skimp. I mean, that's a quarter point right there, man. You put a second band on a cigar this small, man, that's crazy. Man.
June? In addition to the double band comments, I thought I liked it. It was I thought it was a little spicier than the other, like, bigger size Underground Shades that they have, which I like, right? Because it kind of gave that load of deviation. And you figure, hey, if I have 30-40 minutes, let's just get to the point, right? Upon first draw, make it good, make it last 30 minutes or 40 minutes or so. I certainly have gone times when you smoke that first one, after it's done, light up another one, right? So yeah, good Connecticut shade.
Yeah, definitely nice size. I mean, short smoking time kind of thing if you want. I mean, I don't think any of us are really fast smokers, so you're still going to get a good amount of time out of it, but for those guys that like to chief on them, this is a good winter smoke, I guess, to kind of get your shade fixed in the winter if you want it. So
Shade dart, as they would say up in Canada.
There you go. All right. So we are now at our second tie.
Oh, man.
Of the list. So this is a tie for 15.
This is 15B?
Well, I don't want to say A and B. They're in no particular order. They're actually in alphabetical order by company name. So that's how they were ranked. There was no other ranking between the ties. That's just alphabetical order by company name. So I don't want to get into any...
I just like links. To stir the pot. The pot.
I don't want to get any complaints about stuff. So.
Okay. All right. So are we going alphabetical, or we're going to go
between those two? We're going to go alphabetical. So
okay. So we're going to go
the number 15 tie for number 15 cigar of 2020 is the Patina Maduro Rustic. So this was
15B. Just kidding.
April 2020 release.
Oh, man.
The blend's all undisclosed. Momali moving production over to Noxa. $10.95 price point on it. Based on the picture, beautiful wrapper. I mean, it's got this, like, awesome.
It was a really pretty cigar.
Yeah, it was a really nice cigar there.
The first third was really, I mean, I remember it being like almond and nutty, and it was nice.
Yeah. Ooh. So I know June really liked this cigar, so I'll give June a chance to kind of chime in on his thoughts here.
It's fitting to be 15 in the cigar because, I kind of thought about, okay, Rob is really good friends with Mo. I like Rob. I like Mo. So I think we should put it on the top list, I'm kidding.
Is that Mo because Rob likes Mo, or you also?
I don't know. Can you just follow my non-logic here?
Stop asking hard questions, Seth.
Jeez. I think it was a great idea for Mo to kind of move it to Naxa. I think this was at Casa Favilli. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or Mombacho, wherever. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that was a good move. And I, if it, it seems like when he kind of moved it out of you know, Casa Favilli, like he, all the blends in general taste better within all of his core lines. So I would say if you try patina of like, what is it? Maybe like a year plus ago, give it another shot because in my opinion, the factory move has definitely improved on the blend drastically. And it's just, it's become good. So.
I was kind of a big fan of his Connecticut, man. And I was smoking that as a pre-release. So I don't know. Hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I think June, you and I smoked the Connecticut at TPE, right? He gave us the reblended version. That was like, that was pretty nice as well. So
yeah, because he moved factories for all of it, right? All his stuff.
So the Connecticut's moved over too. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Everything's over. I think I remember him saying at TP when I lit that Connecticut shade up, and I was like, "Did you tweak this blend? Did you do something different to it?" And he's like, "Yeah." He's like, "Ah," and I was like, "Well, whatever you did, it tastes better than what you had."
So. Yeah. Dude, with the backhanded compliment. Boy, it really sucked before, now it's good.
hey, it's number 15A good.
Yeah. There you go. All right. So the other cigar that is tied for number 15 of 2020 is the Foundation, the Tabernacle Goliath. And this was a later in the year release, so October of 2020.
Would have missed that 21 release, man. You gotta pull it back, Nick. You gotta pull it back. You're in danger. You don't want to pull this in 2021, man. I'm just saying.
He does it out every year.
He does it every year. Actually been a good strategy for him, I think. If you do it at the end, you get a lot of people that remember you at the end.
They're jacked, and then when they get it, they're pumped, and they're thinking end of the year.
Yeah. So Mexican San Andres, binder, Nicaraguan Honduran filler, $14 price point. Beautiful looking Perfecto here. I know that John, Seth, June, myself, we were all fairly close on this cigar. So it was kind of, you know, and we'll, now that we're getting up into this level on the scores, we're all, you know, we're all starting to get to the point where we're pretty good on what we're seeing. So
if you thought the original Tabernacle, the broadleaf, was too strong, I think this is a little bit more scaled back. I think this is how it would speak to people. That's how I look at this cigar.
Still chewy though. You still get that nice chewiness. But yeah, it doesn't have that kicky in the belly like the Lancero, which just about put me down.
The bands are.
And we're talking about it. I think in our video recap, Seth, you brought it up of saying like, "Hey, you want something that's anniversary, this nice, you know, Perfecto size. You want it to kind of like kick you in the balls, right? To be really viscous and chewy as well as strong. But it's still a good smoke. Don't get me wrong. So,
yeah."
All right, so we're going to break out of the ties here and going to go to number 14.
No more ties.
No more ties this year. No
ties. Oh, man. Wait for it.
We'll get there.
Don't
worry about it.
All right.
Rookie.
Matter of seconds.
Strong winds.
Yeah. It's El Nino.
Strong winds in our neck of the woods.
Strong winds.
All right. So the number 14. Oh, really? Cigar of 2020 is the Camacho Nicaragua Robusto. This was a July 2020 release. Ecuador wrapper, Honduran binder, filter from Nicaragua, Honduras, and the Dominican Republic. You know, lots of Nicaraguan tobacco in this cigar. I know John, big fan. I was pretty high on this one as well. Thoughts on this cigar?
I think what's interesting about this cigar is it's been around for a while. It's a really nice cigar that maybe takes you back to blends like 10 years ago, where this was probably, this wasn't, I don't think this was around 10 years ago, but like that style of blending 10 years ago, where this would have been pushing the envelope of intense, you know what I mean? Like now, of course, we get cigars that people blend, like they hate you. Hector, I'm talking about you. So it's interesting to go back to, you know, something like this. And it's like, it's well-rounded. So you get like the intensity, you get the full bodiedness, but by today's standard, it's kind of medium plus. But it's just so well blended that I feel like it just, you know, it's just one of those really nice smokes from start to finish. And I, you know, I'm probably one of the few people that really gives them props on the consistent packaging for the whole series that they've done. I think it really, for a retailer, pops on the shelf.
And I think the consistency of the construction on the cigar is just amazing. Like,
yes,
it's just, for all of us, there was not a single flaw in construction. And
didn't we all get a lot of,
it's hard to do that.
Didn't we all get a lot of like bourbon oak barrel notes too? At least I got those.
Yeah.
I can't remember if anyone else did.
I think when I pulled it out of the cello, I think I said that I immediately got like I was like, if they put some part of the tobacco or even the cigar in an ex bourbon barrel, because the aroma came out of the cello immediately, like that rich bourbony sweetness. Yeah, I wish I had one right now, actually.
All right.
You're going to keep moving up the list and you're going to keep wanting stuff.
I am.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'll be like, oh yeah, that was really good.
So now we reached lucky number 13, and the number 13 cigar of 2020 is the Southern Draw Rose of Sharon Desert Rose Lonsdale. This was a late in the year release in October 2020. Ecuadorian Cloud Ground Claro wrapper, Nicaraguan Habano binder, Dominican Piloto Cabano and Honduran Corojo filler. $9.99 price point. Nice price around there for a Lonsdale. I know John, big fan. Seth and June were right spot on in this review as well. Thoughts from you guys on the number 13 cigar?
June?
I like Robert Holt's Desert Rose. I like the original blend that he did and the original size more than like the subsequent ones. But nonetheless, this is still a really good cigar.
And I think,
was that a backhanded comment? Was that a backhanded?
No, because well? I think when we did the video recap, which I think is still to be published. We talked about it, and I think you did your review, and I was like, well, I don't need to say anything because June literally said everything that I wanted to say. Is I really enjoyed it, but I still think the original size is my favorite.
For sure.
But it's nice because it's a good example of, I think, something that, you know, you change up the size and it's not a carbon copy. I mean, in a way, it's not a carbon copy of the original blend, so you are getting something different. And, it, you know, I think, Robert's got a lot of good stuff. I'm pretty happy with a lot of his stuff, frankly. If you like creamy cigars, I mean.
He's happy.
Whatever. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, I like creamy most things.
I wish I had
some stone fruit. It had some stone fruit.
It had some stone fruit.
I thought so. It was nice. It was really.
All right, we are up to 12.
Oh, my goodness.
So we're getting up there. Second half of the list, right?
Crazy.
So the number 12 cigar of 2020 is the Villiger do Brasil Claro Robusto.
Yes.
Curveball. Stop shaking your head, Seth.
So this was another like, wow, early on.
Who?
Cigar. January 2020.
January.
Brazilian Connecticut shade. Brazilian binder and filler. $9 price point. Keeps it under that $10 level. But pretty consistent scoring for all of us. I know June really dug it. Seth and John right there on it. And I was just a little bit behind you guys.
Had some funk to it, like a good positive,
yeah.
Like
Yeah, really like a barnyardy like, must funk. Yeah.
Yeah, there's some. I mean, I remember getting like just like lemongrass, cedar, cinnamon. You know, what's that Brazilian drink? You know what I'm talking about?
Caprana or something like that.
Yeah, and you know how they talk about how it's like their version of the mojito.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best way of thinking about the cigar. It's just like it's their version of the Connecticut. It's pretty funky.
And I think you were saying, if I remember right, it's been a year, so I could be wrong, but I think you were saying, Seth, this is one of those cigars where you're like, you're kind of puffing away, and then you kind of stop, and you kind of look at the cigar, and you're like, man, this is interesting. And then you take a couple more puffs, and you're like, huh. And you keep looking at the cigar, and you're like, huh, that's an interesting cigar. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I fell in love with the cigar when we were at TP, Aaron.
Yeah.
And Villiger spent all that money for us to be at Jose Andres's restaurant.
Absolutely.
gave us such a great meal there.
That'll guarantee you a spot on the top 25.
Yeah, I was like, Do Brasil.
Which one do you want? Do you want the Do Brasil? Is that your okay, done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I do feel though that this is a cigar that will rank really high for some people, and I think other people will be like, no, I have no interest in this. I don't see there being a middle ground.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that being the case. All right. So we are up to number 11. And the number 11 cigar of 2020 is the Davidoff Robusto Intenso. Yeah. This was a September release, Ecuadorian Habano wrapper, all kinds of Dominican in the filler, Dominican binder, $32 price point. So it's up there, but as are a lot of the Davidoffs, that typically are new releases and things like that. But yeah, this one did quite well through the group. I know June was the big guy on this one, but you know, I was pretty high up there, and John as well. So
June doesn't like full-bodied cigars.
I would just like to say that while June doesn't like Davidoff, I'm the one who held this cigar like back.
Yeah, I mean the irony is Seth, the Davidoff fanboy, was the one that held it back.
Man. Davidoff fanboy and the Dominican tobacco fanboy.
That's true.
Is the one that held back.
That's funny.
Klaus must have sent you a nasty text or something. I don't know.
when he switched numbers. When he moved, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No yeah, call. I think. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Seth.
No, he just said no call. I should have just done the departed. What's it? No money. No ticky. What was it? What is it that he said? Do you remember when he's doing the chip deal and the under the bridge and the departed? No, no one's
a better tomorrow.
When he's like, no ticky, no something like that.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. I only watched the original Hong Kong film. I don't care about the American bastardized version.
June, talk about the cigar.
Yeah, man. I think what shined the most about the cigar for me was that Dominican Semilla 254 Visus that they have in the filler.
That's what did it for you.
It's really. It was, I think it really highlighted the cigar. So
this is this cigar is. Will give you that like traditional Davidoff mustiness,
yeah.
But it's in a much fuller strength. It's in a fuller strength
for a Davidoff
profile for a Davidoff.
Yeah.
So if you kind of feel like some of the Davidoff stuff is a little bit too light for you, this definitely amps it up a notch. But you still get some of those core flavors in there, and I just really dug that this was kind of like a bit of like just a Davidoff on steroids a little bit, but it didn't lose any of that. Yeah, it didn't lose any of that kind of. You know, nuanced flavors and things like that when it did it.
Seth, I don't know about you, but I feel like this was kind of the midway point between, you know, like a Siri R and a Winston Churchill. You know, like it wasn't balls strong like the Winston Churchill, but it had some serious it had some serious pop.
Yeah, it had some pop to it. It's what's crazy is they've taken this, you know, they had that Churchill that, you know, was released. What was that?
19, I think.
19. And then they had the Chef, which was also 19 mm-hmm. that we all smoked, which was really strong. And then they have this, and there's like this all these limited editions they're making are having darker wrappers and they're smoking a lot stronger. It's kind of like, I don't know, Habanos in some ways. It's
seems to be working for them.
Yeah, but true to Davidoff format, even executing such a like stronger, like for me, the newer Davidoff gives me that classic Davidoff, you know, that hay mushroom kind of aspect of things. But yeah. I also like how it, on this new wave of Davidoff, the new stuff has this like, if it's almost like, all right, if we're going to make a bolder, spicier cigar, we're going to really show you that boldness. Mm-hmm. And I feel like these new Davidoffs does a great job of that.
Yeah. So Robert Holt joined the chat to thank us for giving him number 13, but he also wanted to finalize the quote for Seth. He knew right off the bat it was no tiki, no laundry.
Oh, no tiki, no laundry. Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Robert. and thanks for always
such a great scene.
And thanks for always supporting developing palettes.
That's true.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. All right.
No tiki, no laundry. Yes.
Top 10. All right. Here we go.
Here we go. Now we're getting serious.
Now we're getting serious.
This is where I step in the game.
This is where the checks get mailed.
Funny you should say that, John.
Uh-oh.
Number 10 cigar of the year for 2020 is the Drew Estate Underground Maduro Corona.
Yeah, boy!
Look at that DE money.
Yeah, listen, and revenue locked.
Listen, this cigar is fantastic on many levels.
Yeah.
Besides the fact that the size is great, this showed that love, that spice, that little bit of anger and emotions that the Corona Viva brought the Underground line. This resurrected it. Great smoke.
Damn, yes, that was this good. Was another, you know, this was released the same time as the Connecticut in February, so earlier release, Mexican San Andreas Maduro wrapper, Connecticut stock cut Habano binder, Brazilian Nicaraguan filler, $5.50 price point, that 4x44 ring gauge. So yeah,
double banded.
Yeah,
you know, I'm gonna say this, June. I'm gonna say this for $5.50. I might pick this up over the Illusion.
No,
I just said it. I just said it.
Boy, it's good thing. It's good thing we're not seeing each other anytime soon, or I feel like June might suplex Seth.
I'm not turning away.
I'm just saying that this.
You have COVID. You can't taste shit.
That I have COVID. I don't taste shit. No. Listen, I think that this shows. I don't know. John, you love the Undergrounds.
I do, actually. It's always been, I think, for me, one of the strongest core lines they've got.
Totally consistent. And I'm not saying, and I think Illusione and Rothschilds are really consistent as well.
Big time.
And I think they're a great $5. They show you good Nicaraguan tobacco with that really dark Mexican San Andreas. And they deliver that core flavor profile that's really good. But I just think that this size, just because it's a little bit smaller and also with that Corona Viva, just puts a little bit more complexity to it just because of the tobacco used in the cigar.
Yeah, I think the sweetness and the spice are both dialed up on this, on the pequeño size. I don't know why I keep trying to call it pequeño. Pequeña. Sometimes the smaller ring gauge doesn't work out, especially on some of the heavier cigars, but obviously at number 10, this worked out and worked out for all of us.
See, I don't think it worked out as well with the shade. And I
agree.
Higher on the shade than I was.
I think it's the supreme size of the shade, the larger like Bellicoso.
Yeah.
So
the shady.
Yeah. So
the
I
Prima was
Suprema,
like a,
yeah. The Suprema. I actually think that the for me the shade really really shines in a larger ring gauge because I think it sounds stupid, but I feel like the blend needs to breathe a little bit and like it needs more tobacco to kind of do its thing. Whereas the Undercrown, I think you can get a bigger Undercrown Maduro, you can get a smaller Undercrown Maduro, and what you're getting is you're just getting a different Maduro experience, and each one of them has its own sort of unique profile. And certainly the Pequeña I mean, it's, for $550, I mean, what do you want? It's double banded. It's $550. I mean,
it's double banded, and it's a foot band too.
It's a that foot band.
On a foot right there.
I mean, you know, that's like a buck right there. Like, they're just like, you know, you're worth it. We know that you're worth it. We're just going to give you a dollar on the foot band. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
And isn't this year supposed to be 10 years of Undercrown?
Yeah.
Is that where we're going to be at now?
It's probably time for June to get his Undercrown tattoo.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Well, that Baker Mayfield tattoo.
Baker Mayfield wearing the Undercrown crown.
Totally. With Progressive right there, too.
That's right.
All right, so we're up to number 9. So number 9 cigar of 2020 is the Avo Regional North Edition.
Oh.
And these cigars are so confusing with the bands and the boxes and all that stuff, but we'll try to...
I saw it, and I'm like, oh, man, is that the South? Did we put the... But no, it's the North.
Yeah.
I know. I was almost like, I think you put the wrong cigar up there.
It's weird. The North has the boat. And the South has the skier. It's I don't get it. It's the way it's weird how it works out. But yeah, so I know that we're all, I mean, John, you were really high on this cigar.
Yeah.
But the rest of us were all pretty even on where it stood. So thoughts from you on how you want to kind of get into this one.
Yeah. I mean, I went full fanboy in this. I thought the profile was just, you know, outrageous. You get the classic Davidoff, and then it was like dessert cigar just the whole way through. This is the kind of thing you know, for me, it'd be a celebration cigar on your birthday or after some kind of, you know, event, commemorate an event like a graduation or something like that. This cigar just kind of checked a lot of boxes. And the size is nice too. Like, you know, it's an unusual size, which I think if you're going to do a limited edition or a you know, unique packaging, I think doing a unique size fits in. And I think what helped this cigar for me is that, you know, cause some cigars in the list, for me at any rate, I struggled with a couple of them with either draw or burn, and this one was just perfect. So on top of me fanboying, the construction help. Plus, it's got two bands, so you know,
and a nice shape to it,
and a nice shape.
Yeah. I thought this was pretty nice. I mean, you know, price point's a bit high on that 14 bucks, but I dig the regional concept, even if it's not, you know, like limited to in the different regions for purchase. But I kind of like it. And I thought, you know, unique size was good. Cigar smoked well. I didn't have any complaints with it, so. It was nice to see another, you know, see Avo make it up onto this list. So,
yeah, I think Avo Uvazian would have liked that cigar.
Yeah, I could see him. I could see him smoking it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Good size.
All right, we are up to number 8. So the number 8 cigar of 2020 is the Fonseca by my father, Cedros. The Cedros is kind of a Toro-ish, 6.25 by 52. Got the Nicaraguan Corojo 99 wrapper, Nicaraguan binder and filler. $11 price point. It was an August release. I think this was probably a huge hyped up cigar for the year. You know, seeing, you know, they acquired the brand, seeing what they were going to kind of do to put the My Father stamp on Fonseca, and they definitely put the My Father stamp on Fonseca. But yeah, definitely a cigar that hit pretty well for all of us. So
we, you know, just once say, we
start to get to this point.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I mean, once we get to this point, like, you know, we're starting to see the, you know, the cream is rising to the top, so we're going to start seeing some higher scores and things like that. So
I'm just saying, with the cedar wrapping, Fonseca printed on it, that gold footband, I don't even need to smoke it. It's just right there. Yeah. That's the top 8 right there. No, listen,
I didn't even take a cedar off to smoke the cigar.
You always smoke the cedar with these things. That's the way to do
it. That's how you're supposed
to do it. Flavors. Yeah. Listen, but can we just say, wow, I think we're seeing the beginning of my father producing great Nicaraguan puros again. And I think this cigar showed so many qualities of them being able to deliver a blend, which is a Nicaraguan puro, but doesn't smoke like any other Nicaraguan puro that they've done. It's very dialed back, but still flavorful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I commented in the video review, and I don't think we've got this one up either yet, do we? Or did we?
This one published today, actually.
Oh, published today. So I think I said in the video review that if I'd smoked this without the wonderful cedar on it, and without the foot band, and without the lovely bands, I would not have been able to put this as a My Father. And I think this is probably a good thing that it's a pretty significant departure from their sort of core, what they blend. And at the same time, Seth kind of ticked those boxes where, you know, if this is the kind of Nicaraguan blend they're going to come out with, I'm pretty excited for what they'd come out with in the future, because I really like the direction this is taking. And it did catch me by surprise. I mean, honestly, when you see Fonseca come back, you're like, ooh, yeah, they're just bringing this back because of the name, and then they're going to kind of kill the blend. But no, they didn't do that at all. They did a really good job.
Yeah, the cigar definitely started non My Father-ish, which I liked, and that's what I was hoping that they were going to do with this cigar. So I was glad to see that they actually, you know, went down that route, and it wasn't just kind of a, you know, My Father with a different band on name on it kind of a thing. So that was good.
Yeah,
they definitely made it their own with the colors on the bands and stuff like that as well.
Yeah, it didn't feel like, for lack of a better explanation, it didn't feel like a blend that was just kind of sitting around the factory for some time, and they're like, yeah, this is the Fonseca. Sure, let's just slap a cedar wrap on this, and we're good.
Yeah,
and if it was good for them.
Yeah, I mean, if it was good for them.
All right, so we are up to number 7. And the number 7 cigar of 2020 is the Dunbarton Tobacco and Trust Sober Mesa Brulé Blue.
We've hit it. We've hit that level of there they are.
There they are. Coop's going to lose his mind.
There. We're going to get shit on now.
Yeah. So this is an August 2020 release, Ecuador, Connecticut shade, wrapper, Mexican San Andreas Negro binder, Nicaraguan filler, you know, $14.95 price point. You know, the question was from everybody was, you know, was the head sweetened on this cigar, all that kind of stuff and things like that. But, you know, cigar that they did very well with our group. So, you know, a nice Connecticut shade, cigar. So, I know Seth, you were really high on the cigar in June as well.
Yeah, I just I thought the size was fantastic. You know, Gran Corona, it's just there was perfect level of balance, sweetness, there was spice, there was cedar, there was hay. It delivered that, you know, nice Ecuadorian Connecticut quality, but there was also some depth behind it. And I think this is what, like, somewhat limited, the cigar.
Yeah, it's like a little bit limited production.
Yeah, it's just a cigar that I think anybody can smoke it and they'd enjoy it. And I just think depending on how much time and effort you want to put into the cigar, will just how much you want to get out of it. So when you're really mm-hmm. focusing on it, you can appreciate it.
Yeah,
yeah. And I also think the that sweetness from the tip, I thought it was just right to complement all those flavors that Seth was just talking about. But I also say you don't see that many Connecticut shades that's like near $15. So I feel like it's a bit high price point for just Connecticut shades that you typically see out in the market.
The people who are going to buy it will buy it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, I've nailed this point to death, but, with all the discussion about the sweetness, I've said many times I'm really sensitive to the sort of saccharine artificial sweeteners, and I really don't like it. And so for me, that's very off-putting on some cigars that have that, and that's not the sort of sweetness that I got on this. It definitely tasted like a, for lack of a better expression, like honey or like some sort of, you know, natural sweet flavor. And as a result, I didn't find it competed with the profile, which is kind of the whole point of smoking a cigar, is I want to taste the tobacco and I don't want something to take away from that. And so for me, and obviously the pigtail head, I mean, man, you put a pigtail head on a cigar, you're guaranteed top 15 right off the hopper, right? Like that's, I mean, do you know how long it would take? No wonder they're so limited. I mean, you know, you can just imagine the things the roller's saying as they put the pigtail cap on. They're like, who thought this was a good idea?
Well, didn't they sweeten it with local honey from like their own beehives, and those bees pollinate all the tobacco flowers?
That's what I heard.
That's what I heard as well.
That's what I heard.
And I thought that's why you got that honey profile with the tobacco. That's
that makes sense.
Yeah.
I like that honey sweetness so much that in the beginning I put the cap all over my lips and my face. So if I ever wanted a little more sweetness, I just lick my lips.
See, that's smart.
Like, I'll just dab my face.
Because
it's like Burt's Bees down in Nicaragua.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because when you get in the middle and it starts to go away, you want it to come back. So you just, that makes the smart.
Just lick your lips.
Yep.
It helps with allergies too.
Agreed.
All right. Time for the number six cigar.
Oh, man.
And the number six cigar of 2020 is the Rojas KS.
Oh, yeah. This was an early release too, wasn't it?
Yes, this is an April release. Ecuadorian Habano Maduro wrapper, Nicaraguan Somoto binder, Nicaraguan filler. $12 price point. And this is, I guess, name council can definitely weigh in, 7.5 by 38. So...
you know what? If you're gonna screw up on a Lancero, like to me,
go long.
Do it. Yeah, just it's just slightly longer, but at least the key point to me is that you've kept the ring gauge, which is kind of the critical part. So thank you, Noel, for the keeping it classic.
Yeah, so I know June and John, you guys were real high on this. I was pretty high on it. Seth, not so much, but we carried it. We carried it.
That's how you know it's a top five cigar.
I looked down, and for some reason, I was reading John's score. I was like, wait a minute. I scored the 6.87? Like, when did I score the 6.87? I'm like, oh, wait a minute. There it is.
I feel like the Rojas brand didn't really get much publicity at all.
No, I would agree with you.
Yeah, and I think it's a shame because, I mean, Noel Rojas been in the game for a while, right? So certainly I feel like there's a good amount of folks that like his blending. And you guys should try this. This is, I don't know if this is still around, but I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I think it's probably pretty hard to find. But yeah, this was definitely a nice cigar. I mean, it carried the flavor complexity for quite a while. And there was a Lancero that smoked well. So I enjoyed it quite a bit.
Yeah, this was if you're a true Lancero lover, this checks all of those boxes. Plus what's really nice, even though it's 7.5, it's one of those cigars that does keep you engaged for the entire smoking experience. So, you're not getting halfway through and going, I've lost at this point. This cigar will give you your money's worth and certainly the smoking time worth as well.
Exactly.
Yeah, more people should have smoked it.
Agreed. All right, so we are into the top five. So here we go.
Here we go. This is where the serious checks. This is like, sponsorship deals, 2021, maybe 2022.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the number five cigar of 2020 is the JRE Aladino Cameroon Lonsdale. It's very important to specify the Lonsdale size for this cigar. But this was a May release, Honduran Cameroon for the wrapper, and then Corojo from Honduras for the binder and filler. Wonderful $7.80 price point for this cigar. And this was the one that June was the dissenter on, but the rest of us were quite high on it. So John was a shining light, if you want to share his thoughts, and Seth as well.
Yeah, I mean, the funny thing about that is I think if you look historically at largely Honduran tobaccos or Honduran origin cigars, I think consistently I'm always the lowest score, even lower than you, Aaron. So I think that speaks volumes to what they've come out with in this Honduran blend. it's just, we talk about it, and we talk about it sometimes where you say, you light up a cigar and you take two puffs and you go, I don't even need to write the rest of this review because like I'm done. Like this is definitely a 6, 8, 7, you know, I can move on with my day because I've smoked that half inch and we're good. Like there's no need to smoke the rest of the cigar. No, I'm just kidding. We smoked the whole cigar. But it is one of those cigars where you take a few puffs and you're like, oh, okay. Yeah, I'm in for a good cigar experience, which is nice.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, man, I'm in for Honduran Cameroon. So if they can make some more of this, I know they got a Lancero coming out this year for this line. So I'm interested to see that. But yeah, man, I was really digging this cigar. It really delivered. I'm not sure what else to say about it. It was just, people like to harp on me for hating on cigars. this is a really good cigar. So
it was a good one. Really good flavors.
Yeah,
but I disagree. Have to smoke this size. don't smoke the other sizes, in my opinion.
Yeah. This is definitely a good example of a cigar where one particular size outshines the rest of the sizes, and the Lonsdale was the belle of the ball. To coin a coupe phrase.
Yeah. All right. Here we go. Four.
Number four.
Number four,
we're going to do the rest. We're going to do 1 through 4 tomorrow, right? Like we're not doing them tonight.
We're going to wait till tomorrow.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So thanks for checking out Develop. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. All right. So here we go. Number four cigar of 2020 is the Drew Estate Liga Privada Unico Year of the Rat 2020.
Dude, this is fucking not even 2021 ad revenue locked. This is 2023 ad revenue locked.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm in the Year of the Rat studios. I mean,
what else more do you want?
Absolutely.
I think what more we want is Aaron wants a gold foil t-shirt.
I gave myself one last week on the primetime show. If you haven't watched it yet, so check it out. This is a May release. Connecticut broadleaf wrapper, binder from Brazil, Nicaragua, and Honduras, in the filter. $15.99 price point, so it's a bit high, but look at that Bolivar presentation. Great looking cigar. Smoked really well. I know we were all pretty high on it. I was a little bit low, but I had some burn issues, but other than that, flavor was good. So who wants to jump in on this one?
It was just rich. I mean, from beginning to end, I mean, it was just coffee, chocolate, you know, rich earth, sweet spices. It was, I'm trying to remember, medium full, really nice strength and body and powerful flavors, just beginning to end. Good cigar.
Yeah.
It almost made me feel like I was smoking the, like, Liga 9s from, like, the earlier days,
2009, 2010.
Kind of reminded me of that. So well worth it.
Listen, man, it's got gold foil. I mean, if you want to make the top 10, put gold foil on your cigars and not the cheap gold foil like some companies where it's got the white backing, you know, because they cheaped out. This is actually it's got gold foil on both sides. It's serious.
When in
doubt,
copy the Cubans.
Copy the Cubans. No, this was a solid release, and I think if you're gonna do a big anniversary, you know, celebration type cigar, this is probably a good line to follow in terms of how it was presented, the box, the style, the shape, like everything about this cigar screams, you know, unique celebratory type cigar. And I think that goes a long way with consumers who are looking for, you know, a special box for whatever. This is the kind of product they would gravitate towards.
Yeah. All right. Top three time.
Top three. Oh my goodness.
So
my heart's pounding.
What is it?
I don't even know. I forgot.
The number three cigar of 2020 is the Hoy de Nicaragua Numero Uno La Premier.
Good.
So this was a July release. An Ecuadorian Connecticut wrapper, Nicaraguan binder and filler. $16.60 price point. So we're keeping up the high prices at the top. But yeah, I mean, this is a cigar that did well for us. So I know Seth's super. I think this was Seth's favorite cigar this year. So you can take it away, Seth.
It's elegant. It's an elegant cigar from beginning to end. It's just, I mean, listen, I bought a box of these. The packaging is amazing. The flavor profile is great. Construction's fantastic. It's an awesome Ecuadorian Connecticut. And Oya does this all the time, I feel like, but just make amazing cigars like this.
Yeah, it's funny for a company that was so well known for making full-bodied, really full-bodied cigars, that they've really been knocking it out of the park the last few years with the lighter offerings. Not that I would call this a lighter offering, because it's still, you know, medium-ish in terms of body for flavor. But I mean, they're blending in the Connecticut range, and they're doing a really good job of it. And I think it's really approachable for Connecticut smokers who are looking to move up for something that's got a lot more body than, you know, the really light, hay, grassy Connecticuts that they're smoking. And I mentioned in their video review that I had a lot of reservations about this release, because so often we see, you know, these big celebration or anniversary cigars come out, and then you're like, okay, good. Like they nailed it. Let's move on. And they're like, no, we're going to do it again, but in a different size. And you're like, oh no, don't do that. Don't do that. You're going to ruin it. And you know what? They didn't. This is the Terminator 2. It's Terminator 2, but in as a cigar.
All right. Are we ready to get in the top two?
Terminator 2. Terminator, you know, it's great. Like, they started off, I mean, Johnny mentioned it. It's when you think of like old school Oya, stronger cigars, really affordable pricing.
Yep.
And now they're, you know, now people are waiting for these like complete opposite cigars of what they used to make. And the prices are like three times higher than what they used to be.
But they've been blending, you know, for the European market for so long.
Oh yeah.
And people keep telling them, like I remember Juan was saying one time, he's like, why do people keep telling us that we only have full bodied cigars? He's like, we've got this entire portfolio. You don't know. And so I think it's good, because now it really expresses that they've got the full range. They've got everything, you know, light to medium to full. Pick one. You'll be happy. Decent price points.
All right.
Year of the Connecticut? Is it the year of the Connecticut this year? It's a lot of Connecticuts.
Pretty close, yeah.
There's Connecticuts of sorts.
All right. So let me get out of here for a second so that I can get it lined up right and I don't blow something. All right. Number two cigar of the year for 2020 is the Davidoff Ginza 10th anniversary.
Definitely box worthy.
Another affordable cigar.
Yes.
Box worthy? Are you kidding?
Eight and a quarter by 50.
Like box of eight, probably.
Shit, man.
Ecuadorian Habano binder and wrapper. Lots of Dominican in the filler. Got that all the Olor that June loves. But this was an early release, February 2020. $38 price point. Obviously, with a cigar of this size, you can't stick at the $32 bottom level. This one scored quite well for all of us. So who would like to jump in on this cigar?
I think the resident.
This was my number one, personal number one of the year for me.
Damn.
So I will be Seth this year, and I will talk about this. This goes back to what I love about Davidoff. They finesse so well, and you know, in their cigars, right? So it's real buttery, oily, rich mouthfeel. I love that. Like whenever I get a cigar that doesn't make you feel like you lick some freaking cigar ash, especially on the finish, I think that's like automatically. I just really enjoyed that kind of a finish, and it's, you know, I had some nice subtle confectioner's sugar. You know what I'm saying? Not just any sugar, confectioner's sugar. Okay. Medium body, medium strength, complex, finesse. Man, it's just $38 fucking dollars.
Yeah.
Same as box worthy, you know?
Okay.
Or you get two boxes. You lay one down, you know, because you know that you're going to need a box at the end of 2021, and then you smoke the one box this year.
But you could, by the way, justify buying a box for this because you need to understand when you're smoking the cigar.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like in a quarter by 50. It's really special occasions, June.
I agree totally. And I also will say, I think more media sites should buy these kinds of Davidoff cigars and review them. Because I feel like we're one of the very few ones that does it. And that's a shame. I know it's pricey, but you really don't know the range that you're getting until you like try these. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great cigar. You're worth it. You know, splurge a little bit. Treat yourself. Exactly. You know?
And it's hard for somebody to blend a cigar this size and kind of maintain that flavor enjoyment, I think, over a long period of time. And they did it with this cigar very well.
Yeah, 100%.
So,
yeah. Yep.
All right. It's that time. Number one cigar of the year.
Next year we'll have to do drum effects.
Yeah, we'll have to figure that out, I guess. All right. So the number one cigar for developing palates for 2020 is the Avo Classic Maduro number 2.
Boom.
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 So this was a cigar that was released in June. Toro 6x50, Connecticut Broadleaf, binder from the DR, fillers from the DR, $10.90. Obviously, this cigar scored well for all of us or it wouldn't be number one. So who'd like to chat about this toothy broadleaf wrapped beauty?
I just want to say one thing and then we're going to have John go. There's so many people out there who are haters who said, Seth's just going to put a Davidoff as number one. Well, I didn't. So there you go. John, you're up.
Well, they're typically right.
To me, this just takes me back to when everybody was using Connecticut Broadleaf, and there's a lot of really good Connecticut Broadleaf offerings out there, but you know, Connecticut Broadleaf has become a little bit more pricey, so you don't see it as often, and a lot of people have moved over to San Andreas. I think that this is one of the better, like if I think back to some of the great Broadleaf releases, this cigar would fall into that bucket because it's just got all of the greatness of the broadleaf without, you know, crazy intensity on the flavor profile. The construction is amazing. The burn is amazing. It smokes nice and slow. So yeah, it's, you know, it's a few bucks, but you are getting your money's worth in terms of smoking time. And it's, yeah, I mean, I'm going to buy a box of these because they're so good.
Yeah. I agree. I think this is what Connecticut Broadleaf should be, right? So like something that's like real chewy, like a real thick viscous smoke, a lot of chocolate tones. But it does all that while still being, I think, balanced. And balance is not something that you would typically throw in a term when you talk about Connecticut Broadleaf, right? But somehow this is. And man, I thought this was fantastic. I think I smoked like three of these for review, and every single one of them, I just felt exactly the same.
Yeah, I thought it was really well done, Broadleaf. Go ahead, Seth.
No, you go.
Yeah, I just thought it was really well done, Broadleaf. I mean, you know, there's a lot of times where, and I think, you know, a lot of people like the Broadleaf when it's very rustic and very gritty and kind of like in your face, but this was like a clean Broadleaf. And I enjoyed that difference. It was just really well executed. I dug it. Glad they brought it back.
Came out of total blue. I had no idea I was going to like it this much.
Yeah, this one.
And as a matter of fact, yeah, I think this is the only cigar this whole year we smoked, guys, that I scored a very good in one of the first thirds. The only cigar, which is crazy, typically.
I'm not sure. I think I only scored one cigar this year as a very good in one of the thirds. It wasn't this one, surprisingly. But this, I mean, like you said, June, I mean, this cigar is special. As soon as I lit it up, I was like, oh, you know, this is going to be an easy review because now I don't even need to write anything because I just write, it was good, yum, yum, yum. And then, you know, 7.25. So
it's about how it went.
So it's so much easier than writing a cigar review where I didn't enjoy it because then I have to be nice. This one, I can just go, yum, 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 done.
But it was a broadleaf that really a lot of people could really enjoy. And it brought back like some, I mean, I think John, you mentioned like some old school broadleaf qualities. Yeah. It's like they took that old school mentality and just modernized it a little bit. They didn't try and do anything like really extra or anything like, you know, just a classic strong broadleaf. They just had some finesse.
Creamy for days.
Oh yeah.
All right, well, that's the list.
Boom.
So hope you enjoyed this new format, us combining all of our lists into a single list. That should make it a little easier for people to understand how the lists work. I enjoyed this process this year, so I thought it was fun to be able to combine everything. So we'll publish this on the website tomorrow, the full list. Let me see if I could just actually all bring this up and see if give people a bit of a recap to it.
And I guess we're also doing a media show for Developing Palettes, like a 2020 recap show.
Yeah.
And if you're interested in, if you're a data nerd, you know, if you like the data, if you like the inside baseball talk, we're going to be talking a lot of inside baseball, Developing Palettes inside baseball, and talking about the industry and talking about scoring and our scoring, a lot of that stuff on our recap show. So it's definitely going to be a spicy show, I think, because there's a lot to talk about.
So if you can see the screen, there's the full list, 1 to 25, including the ties. Like I said, we're gonna publish the list on the website tomorrow morning. There will also be links in there to each of our individual lists. So if you want to check out how each of us scored things or what our top lists were for the year individually, you can still do that. We're not pulling any of the data away from people.
So you're saying we're fully transparent?
We believe in transparency. Oh. Everything is data driven. There's no, like I said, there's no hunches or feelings or votes or any of that stuff that we do to make the lists. It's just based on how things run during the year. So I think that's a nice way to do it. So as John said, we'll have a show next Tuesday. I'll have a media recap show. We'll have Coop on the show. Also plan to have Charlie from Half Wheel on the show. So kind of something we've been doing the last few years, and getting a chance to recap the 2020 year in regards to reviews and just how the cigar industry was in general from the media perspective. So that should be fun. We'll also be publishing our value list next week. So you can see how the cigars rate based on value. And then either later that week or the following week, we're also going to do kind of reviews by the numbers. So we're going to break down everybody individually and how they scored by country, by price point, by sponsor, by non-sponsor, by cigars we purchased, by cigars that were given to us by manufacturers. However it was out there, we break it all down so you could see how all the numbers look. So
purchased by non-purchased.
Yeah. So you'll be able to see pretty transparent how everything kind of shook out. So any other final thoughts from you guys on this one before we wrap up the kind of the 2020 list?
List is wrapped.
All right.
Time to start smoking for 2021.
Tagged. Oh man, we've been smoking for 2021.
We have.
Yeah. What? We've already started, yeah.
Oh man.
It's similar to 2020.
That's not true.
Not for Seth. It's a different year for Seth.
There's been a couple good ones.
We've had some good ones.
There's been some good ones.
Have we?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
At least I hope we have.
We have.
All right. Thanks everybody for tuning in. Hopefully you can join us next week, Tuesday night. It'll be kind of same time, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. That's going to be the show where we, get a little saltier and stuff like that. This was just kind of presenting our list. So really appreciate you guys tuning in. Hopefully you can tune in next week as well. Thanks again. We'll see you then.
John, that beach looks amazing.
Right?